think Joshua might have stood you up with that one, Shana. I saw him checking the plugs. But we're coming this evening in the Word of God to Mark's Gospel in the chapter 8. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. It's great to be with you again this evening. It's always encouraging whenever you're sad, whenever you're not told, oh, we've double booked you, we already have somebody tonight. And again, we'd like to the Lord to bless our time together this evening. It's amazing how the Lord can work in planning a meeting without the preacher knowing many of the people in the congregation, because this evening we're looking at Jesus healing a blind man after Sheena's given her children's talk about being able to see the light. How we're seeing how Christ can reveal the light to those who are blind and those who are born in darkness. Mark chapter 8, and we're going to read together from verse 22 of the chapter. The Word of God says, "And he," that is the Lord Jesus, "he cometh to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he could see aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes, and made him look up. And he was restored, and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town." Amen. We look to the Lord to bless the reading of his word this evening to all of our hearts. You know, whenever we come to the miracles of Jesus, it's easy to take them for granted sometimes in the way that he worked in the lives of people. We know that he healed the blind, he healed the deaf and the dumb, and he healed lepers, he cleansed those who were possessed of devils, he fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee. He even raised the dead, whether it's Jairus' daughter, whether it's Lazarus, or even miraculously as well, he himself who conquered death for us. But it would do a great disservice both to the Word of God and to the work of Christ himself to simply think that he worked in exactly the same way with every person that he met. Because every person that came across Jesus' path was an individual. They all had different backgrounds, they all had different ages, and they all certainly had different concerns. But one thing that united each and every one of them was that they knew they needed a touch from the Master's hand. We come to this particular episode with Christ and the man here that's mentioned from the town of Bethsaida. And the way he dealt with this man is quite unique in some ways to any other miracle that he performed. You know, before Jesus even met this man, even before he entered the city of Bethsaida, he knew he was going to meet this blind man who was going to ask that he would be healed. He knew that this man was going to be brought to him, and he knew everything about him. He knew everything about the town he was from. He even knew the family he was brought up in. And all this kind of changed the way that he would deal with this individual. You know, as much as the Word of God's going out to everyone in the building tonight, it's going out to each and every individual. You know, don't think you're lost among the number whenever it comes to God speaking to you this evening. Know that the Word of God, the Gospel that's going to be brought out this evening, is just as much for you as it is to the person beside you. God's willing to speak to each and every individual here this evening. Both those who are unsaved and even for those of us who are saved. Oh, we should never get used to the Gospel. We should never get used to hearing what Jesus has done for us. And so we pray that God would speak to all who are listening here this evening. Just like we mentioned of the different people that were brought to Jesus, all with different backgrounds, different ages, different concerns. But the one thing that united them all was that they needed that touch from the Master's hand. And that's the same with all of us here this evening. Some of us already have known that touch from the Master's hand. And we pray that even before this evening's over, all of us would be able to say we've known that special and wonderful, miraculous touch from the hand of Christ. You know, here as we see how even Christ dealt in a miraculous way in healing this blind man and restoring his sight, we see a wonderful picture of how he can deal in the lives of sinners here this evening. First of all, we see the blind man's condition. Mark brings us to this man's attention. Jesus came to the village, the town of Bethsaida, and it says they brought a blind man unto him, and they besought that he would touch them. It's straight away we're brought to the man's condition. We're just outrightly told that he was blind. You know, they didn't try and dress up this man's condition. He didn't try and make it any bigger than it was. He didn't try and make it any smaller than it seemed. You know, he might have had that mindset, as some people do, even some believers do sometimes, of having a problem that they need, that they know that Jesus can deal with. But whenever they come to Jesus, they make it seem smaller than it actually is. And some say, making it seem as if, well, if God answered, God, they could take or leave it if God answered the prayer. It's no big deal. But in reality, it is that it is a heavy burden. But sometimes we can make those problems seem small. Here, he just outrightly makes sure that the Lord knows that this is a blind man. He was unable to see. He even needed others to bring him to Jesus. You were not told here how long this man has been blind. Presumably all of his life. And it's a heartbreaking image for this man to have lived a life in complete blindness. You could say it's a life, it's all he had ever known, this life of blindness. It's all he had never known. He had never seen the light of day if he had been blind all of his life. He had never seen the light of day. He had never seen the smiles on the faces of the people round about him. He had never seen those things that you and I normally take for granted. He had lived a life of darkness. He had lived a life of uncertainty. He lived a life of trouble. He certainly could have ended up in dangerous situations if he didn't have these people round about him to help him. How he needed others to help him. He couldn't help himself. This is the condition that this man finds himself in. A life of darkness, and that life is all he had ever known. You know, you may not be physically blind this evening, but if you're outside of Christ, it's an even more heartbreaking scene because you're spiritually blind. Spiritually blind to the things of God. Not truly able to fully understand what Jesus has done for you. And you know, that might not be of your own doing, because Paul says in Corinthians that the God of this world, and he's referring to Satan, he's referring to the devil, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. The devil's trying everything he possibly can to make sure that you don't get saved. The devil will throw every distraction into your head, even while you're listening this evening, to make sure you don't hear what Jesus can do for you. Make sure that you never understand what he can do in your life, how he can save you, how he can change you. You're spiritually blind this evening because the devil doesn't want you to get saved. All these distractions will come to mind, and without the help of God, you'll never be able to understand what Jesus can do for you. But that's where we give thanks to the Lord tonight, and that's why we give thanks that you're found here tonight, because Christ is willing to shine that light into your soul. You know, we were looking earlier about the darkness, how you need the light to shine through. You know, at the beginning of John's Gospel, he says that the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness couldn't overcome it, the light was so bright. The power of Christ is so great that it can overcome the darkest thing that's blocking your mind this evening. It can overcome the darkest thought. It can overcome the hardest obstacle that's between you and being saved. How we pray that Christ can break that down in your life this evening. We see this man's condition. We see that he's blind. We've mentioned that he's so blind that he had to be brought by others to him, beseeching that they would touch him. He couldn't control his own movements. He wasn't able to see where Jesus was and lead himself there. He needed others to bring him to the Saviour. Other people may have been able to help him out on day-to-day things. Be able to lead him where he wanted to go, wherever that may be, or to help him do those usual tasks that we take for granted. He needed help in pretty much every aspect of his day-to-day life. But even though all his friends could try and help him in these things, not one of them was able to heal him. Not one of them was able to bring that full sense of healing that he would have needed, that he would have wanted. As much as I'm sure he would have appreciated all that help, that longing he would have had deep within his heart, deep within his mind and his soul, was that one day he would be cleared of this blindness. You know, whatever it is that you have a burden in your life with, whatever it may be, I don't know, and it's not for me to know, nor is it for the person beside you to know either. But let me tell you this evening, all the self-help books in the world, all the self-help programs, they're not going to do a thing for you. They might be a sticky plaster at best, but they're never going to bring that sense of healing and that true sense of fulfillment and that true sense of restoration to the soul. Yes, they might work for a little while. They might make you feel a little bit better about yourself. They might give you a sense of self-pity that you want rather than a sense of healing that you want. But none of these things are able to truly help. in the way that Jesus can. His friends knew that that was the case. And the man himself knew that that was the case. And that is why they brought him to Jesus. Everything else had failed. And there was only one more place that he could go to. Maybe you've just come to that part, that place in your life this evening. Have you just hit the bottom? Have you thought it couldn't get any worse? And then you find out that it has. Oh, there's nowhere else you can go to but the Lord now. And I say this as graciously as I can, because we don't wish ill on anybody. And we don't want harm on anybody. But maybe God has brought you to that point where he's stripped you of everything else just to show you exactly what you need, Christ and Christ alone. Has he brought you to that awful place in the darkness where all you're able to see is the light of Christ and see him crucified for you? Has God brought you to that point? And again, we thank the Lord that that's why you're here this evening, to hear what he can do for you. That's why they brought this man to Jesus. We've seen his condition. Then we see the concern that not only he had, but others even around him had as well. The verse 22, carrying on, he came to Bethsaida. They brought a blind man to him and besought him that they might touch him. Besought's not normally a word that you and I would use in our fluent Ulster language in 2021. But whenever Mark talks about how they besought how they besought Jesus, it means that they pleaded with Jesus. They begged. They went out that day with the sole intention of meeting with Jesus. They wouldn't stop at anything. If it meant walking about all day and even for the next day, they would happily do it. But they were not going to go back home until they had seen Jesus. They weren't going to rest until something was done. You know, whenever we read in the Gospels of a man called Jairus, we had mentioned how Jesus raised Jairus' daughter. And Jairus sent one of his servants to go and meet Jesus and ask him to come and heal Jairus' daughter. She wasn't dead yet, but just to heal her. And as Jesus makes his way, he's met with a woman and Jesus deals with her. And all these obstacles seem to be coming in Jairus' way. And the servant comes back and tells Jesus, look, she's dead already. Don't bother him anymore. But Jairus is so determined to see Jesus work. Jesus is so determined even to work in Jairus' daughter's life that he keeps going on. They see the determination. We see the concern. We see how much Jesus wanted to work in that person's life. We see even the concern that that man himself had for Jesus Christ to work. Such was the urgency that he had. Such was the concern that he had himself. Think of the personal concern. He was desperate for God to work. He was just pleading and begging that God would do something with him. We already mentioned he may have just been brought to the end of his rope. All those other chances were gone. All those other chances of help were dissolved and run out. There was no one else to turn to. And so he gives his all to try and find Jesus. You know, in Acts chapter 16, we read of a Philippian jailer. We read of an earthquake in the prison that he was taking care of. And Paul and Silas, two of the early Christians, were there. And the chains came off all the prisoners. And this Philippian jailer, he was scared for his life. If the governor had found out about this, he'd be beheaded. You know, no bail, no suspended sentence. He'd be dead. He was fearful for his life, even fearful of the life to come. And he throws himself at the feet of Paul and Silas. And he asked them, sir, what must I do to be saved? Such is a concern that he had on a personal level. And Paul and Silas wonderfully said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. See the personal concern that others have had. Do you have that personal concern? Do you understand the danger that you're in? Have you been brought to that? Have you been given that heavy burden just to meet with Jesus, and that you're determined to do nothing until that thing is settled? See the concern that this man himself had. We see the concerns that others had for him as well, because they brought him to Jesus as well. You know, these friends didn't tell him to catch himself on. As he tells them one day, I want to be brought to Jesus. They didn't tell him to wise up. They didn't tell him, you know, he's not going to do anything for you. But they're so filled with concern that they bring him as well. And they plead. We've already looked that they've pleaded and they've begged. Maybe meeting others on the way, asking them where the Savior was. Asking them where Jesus was. Where could we see him? Where can we meet him? Such is the concern that others have for him. Oh, we see great concern here. You know, maybe you haven't seen it in your life, but there's certainly concern from other people whenever it comes to you being saved this evening? Have you heard others saying that they're praying for you? Do you remember back to those times when you were younger? Whenever sitting on your mum's knee or your granny's knee or whoever's knee it was you were sitting on, and they told you those Bible stories and they fascinated your mind when you were younger. They told you about Noah's Ark and how Noah and his family were saved. They told you about Moses and the people that crossed the Red Sea and how they were saved. And they told you about Joshua in the Battle of Jericho and how God worked in their lives. And then they told you about the lives of Jesus. And we mentioned all the different miracles that he's done. And how he died for you. How he rose from the dead for you. How he took your punishment. How he took your place. Do you not hear the concern? Do you not remember the concern as he told you those Bible stories? Do you hear the concern when others invite you to come along to different meetings? Do you hear the concern whenever they ask you to come and hear what Jesus can do for you? We see the concern of individuals and we see the concern of others here. Such is the heavy concern that you this evening would come to Christ. We even see concern from God himself. You know, Jesus deals very particularly with this man. He doesn't just very quickly brush him aside. But we'll get into detail then in a few moments at how closely and how concerned Jesus was for this man. But Christ was making sure that this man was fully healed. Jesus didn't want this man to walk away in the same way that he came to him. Jesus didn't want this man to walk away and stay in that condition for the rest of his life. You know, God is crying out and pleading for you this evening to be saved. He's crying out and pleading that you would get right with him and know the joy of sins forgiven. Peter says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and that includes you this evening. Now, as someone, I'm sure you know John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And there's people that say you can just replace whosoever with your name. That if you would believe on him, you wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. Such is the concern that God has for your soul this evening. And he wants you to get saved even this very night. It's the concern that brought these men to bring the blind man to the Saviour. We see how he wanted him to work. We see his condition. We see the concern that others have for him. Then we see the closeness here that Christ worked in his life. You know, Jesus didn't want to work with him far away, but he brought him close to him so that he could deal with him himself. In verse 23 it says, he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. You know, Jesus took this man, he took him away from all the distractions. He took him away from everything so that it was just him and this man. He took the blind man by the hand. Now that indicates a strong grip. Not just very loosely saying, sure, come on and follow me, or bring them with you if you want to come and see what I can do. But he takes hold of him himself. He reaches out to this blind man and takes him to the place where he wants him to be. It's the same word that's used whenever it says, whenever Peter was drowning in the sea and he reached out and caught Peter. It's that same word. So it's not a very loose grip, but it's something very strong. It's something very secure. Here's the closeness that Christ wants to deal with you this evening. And as Jesus takes this blind man by the hand, this blind man's complete dependence is in the hand of God. He's stripped away from everything else, even his friends that brought him there. Now it's just him and Christ. Now even though you might this evening want to meet with Christ, how you need him to reach out to you. And he does have his arms outstretched. Oh, reach out and meet him this evening. He will lead you to the place you need to be. He'll bring you to the foot of that cross. Even in your mind this evening, when you go back to the foot of that middle cross and see him crucified, see how the others mock him and laugh at him. And even then, he prays that God would forgive the ones who kneeled him there. How he takes the wrath of God in its entirety for you on that middle cross. This is the closeness that Christ wants to work in your life this evening. He wants you to meet with him so that he can take you to the place that you need to be brought to. He took the blind man by the hand, and it says he led him out of the town, away from all the distractions of life, away from all the discouragements, away from all the distractions that would have taken his mind off the problem, so that nobody else could stand between him and Jesus, so that nobody else could rush in and say, "Here, you're wasting your time, come on with me, I know somebody better." But it's just him and Jesus, and there's nothing else in between them. There's nothing that could possibly stop this man from knowing the touch of the Saviour. Now, over the last 2 years, we've certainly been stripped of distractions. We've been stripped of our usual lives. We've been stripped of hobbies. We've been stripped of interests. You this evening have been stripped of the excuses you might have used before COVID came of why you couldn't come out. And in that time, over this last 2 years, we spent most of the time at home. And in the house, it's just you and God. It's just been you and God. Maybe God's been speaking to you. Whenever you've been flicking through Facebook or YouTube and you've seen the live services popping up that you wouldn't normally have seen. How even that God is trying to speak to you whenever it's just you in the home. Whenever you can't get out, he's still trying to speak to you. God's still calling out. Won't you get saved this evening? Won't you just come, even as you are, just come humbly, just come simply. Say, "God, be merciful to me and forgive my sin." You can do it this very evening. You can do it even where you're sitting right now. Just say it even within yourself. And know that you can have your sins forgiven. You know, Jesus took this man out of the town that he would be healed. It's not the first time. It's not the only time that Jesus went outside of the town so that others would be healed. Because we read, whenever Jesus was crucified, he was led outside of the city. He was led outside of the city of Jerusalem. Led outside of its walls, just into that mountain area, and led onto that hill called Calvary. And there, away from the distractions, away from the discouragements, away from everything that could stop him going to that cross, there he was crucified. He found no sanctuary. He had no peace. He was taken outside of the city, away from the safety. And there he was crucified for you. This blind man here knew healing outside of the town. How you this evening can know healing outside of the town where the cross of Calvary is. How you can know sins truly and eternally dealt with. And a life, an eternal life with the Saviour. We see the closeness that Christ wanted to deal with this individual. But he not only wanted to deal with this individual, but we read on and we see that he actually did deal with him. We see the cure here. As Jesus, it says, when he had spit on his eyes and put his hand upon him, he asked him if he saw aught, if he was able to see. If he was able to see, Jesus asked him what he was able to see now. After Jesus had started to work in this man's life, he asked him what he was able to see. What was he able to know? Jesus wanted to know. You know, Jesus could have just simply walked away at this point. Jesus could have just walked away and said, "Well, I did what I needed to do, and the rest is up to you." But Jesus had such a concern for this man that he asked him about the man's current condition. He wanted to see if the man could truly see him. Could this blind man really see Jesus after what Jesus had started to do? No, maybe even a lot of people themselves would have walked away at this point. Maybe some people would have said, "Well, if that's all Jesus is going to do for me, then I'm not going to do anything more with him," and start to walk away. Know this evening that God has brought you here. And he wants you to understand. He wants to know where you are with him. He wants you to know what it is to have sins forgiven. He wants you to know what Jesus can do for you. You know, before Jesus went to the cross and he was praying on his own in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed to God the Father and he said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Jesus wants you to know him this evening. And he's asking you this evening in a spiritual sense, what do you see? What do you see? Do you see him as your Saviour this evening? Do you see him as the one who's truly able to deal with your sins for all eternity? You know, he's not going to leave a work incomplete. He's not going to leave it half done. And we read later on here, and we'll get to it in a couple of moments, that he didn't leave this work half done. But he wants to complete that work in you. And again, maybe we think back to your days whenever you were younger. The children's meetings you went to, maybe even not in childhood years, maybe even in recent years. And you've heard what Jesus can do for you, and you've started to get some grasp of what it means. Is Jesus asking you again this evening? What do you see? Do you see him yet? In all his fullness, do you see him as the one who's able to save your soul even this very evening? Jesus asked this blind man here that question. But it says in the verse 24 that he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. You know, he could make out some vague images in front of him, but the people that walked past him, they were just like trees walking. It was just quite hard to distinguish. He could figure out that they were people, but he didn't truly know what it was in front of him. And again, he could have easily just walked away. He could have thought, well, if that's the best that Jesus is going to do for me, I'll give him nothing more. But he wanted a deeper and a more lasting change. He knew that Jesus was able to go even further. He had heard of how Jesus had healed others in days gone by. And he thinks back and he thinks, well, if Jesus can do it for them, he can do it for me too. You know, maybe you've heard of people coming to the Lord. Maybe you've heard of people, maybe you would call them good living. And before that, they were the most rotten people to have lived in your estate. They're the worst person you could possibly imagine, and you've seen them completely transformed. And if you thought to yourself, if only that could happen to me, praise the Lord it can. Praise the Lord it can. It's not through anything that you can do yourself. It's not through any great motivational speech that I could give you. You've been waiting a long time for that. But it's only through Christ and him alone. What he's done for others, he can do for you too. Spiritually speaking, do you see men like trees walking? Can you just vaguely figure out what it is that's going on? Can you just vaguely understand what Jesus is trying to say? How he still reaches out and wants you to truly understand. You know, one of the saddest verses in all the Word of God is found in John chapter 6. And it's just after Jesus feeds the 5,000. And he feeds the 5,000, and most of them, if not all of them, start to follow him because of what he's done for them. He fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they start to follow him. And you might think to yourself, well, that's great. All these people are following the Lord. Well, then Jesus starts to preach to them. Jesus starts to teach them. He starts to show them that what he did with the loaves and the fish wasn't all that he had come to do, but he started to teach them about spiritual things. He started to teach them that he was the bread of life, that they would find their ultimate fulfillment in him. He sensed that some of them were just trying to follow him so they could see more miracles done. Jesus sensed that there were those in that crowd that just wanted to see him do the miracles again and again, that they could just keep getting free food off him. And as Jesus started to speak more about spiritual things, it says in John chapter 6, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. What a sorry state. To be so close to understanding what Jesus can do for you and to walk away. But sadly, there's many people, perhaps even in this little village this evening, and that's the state they're in. Heartbreakingly, there's even people in hell this evening who have died in that state. So close to knowing their sins forgiven, but finally it won't step too far. Oh, we pray it's not the case for you tonight. Would you come to him, even at this moment? Just be honest with him. If you don't truly understand, just say to him, I see men as trees walking. Just say to him, as we'll see now, Lord, we just need that second touch. We just need you, Lord, to work again. It says in verse 25, after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And because this man was honest to the Lord with his need, because this man didn't just say, well, that's enough for me, Lord, and I'll just go my way. Because this man truly said to the Lord, it's not done yet, and I need you to keep going. Because he was honest with the Lord, Jesus continued to work in his life. And we see that that work was indeed complete. Maybe you're just spiritually frustrated this evening. Do you just feel like you can't get any further? Just cry out to the Lord. Lord, keep on finishing that work. Lord, make me understand. If you truly wanted to save this evening, but all these distractions, all these obstacles are coming up, just pray to him and he will reveal it. He will not leave anyone in the dark that wants to be brought to the light. And cry out to him, Lord, I just see men as trees walking. Help me understand. Help me understand how much you love me. Help me understand why that love drove you to leave the riches and the glories and the splendors and the perfectness of heaven to come to this world and live a life that we could never live and die a death that I deserved. Lord, help me understand why you went to the cross for me. Jesus is able to do it. He's able to do it for you this evening, and he did it for this man. He made him look up, but he was restored and saw every man clearly. He saw all things clearly, not because of anything he did, not even of any magic words he said, but it's all because of what Jesus did for him. God didn't leave this work half done. He doesn't leave any work half done, but he finishes it himself. Now again, maybe you're spiritually frustrated this evening, and you're doing everything you can to try and settle that peace and try and find that sense of contentment, but it's just making you worse. You know what Paul says to the Philippians, and it's what we say to you this evening. Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Nothing to do with you, nothing to do with me. But God will continue to do that work until that day Jesus Christ comes back again. He'll never leave that work half finished. Won't you come to him this evening and let him work in you? See him, how he can transform a life. See how he can save you and forgive all sins from past and present and even in future days. In verse 26, though, we see a sense of condemnation. Now, it's not against this man. This man has seen all things clearly, and Jesus has worked in his life. But Jesus says in verse 26, he sent them away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. And whenever we read that, we might think it's quite a strange request from Jesus. He's just healed this man in a miraculous way. I'm sure many in the town would have known this man, and known that he was blind, and known the problems that he had found himself in. And we might think to ourselves, why would Jesus not tell this man to go and tell everybody what Jesus had done in his life? Why would he not tell him to go and tell absolutely everyone he could see? Because he does tell that in different places. He tells some people, go and tell your family what Jesus has done. He tells some people to go into the town and tell what I have done for you. But here he tells them not to. Not to tell anybody in that town of Bethsaida. It's quite a strange request, but it's one that Jesus made. Because Jesus here, as he goes through this town of Bethsaida, wasn't going to come back. Jesus was on his way to the city of Jerusalem, and there he was going to be crucified. Jesus wasn't going to set foot in Bethsaida again. In terms of Jesus' plan while he was here on earth, no more work was going to be done in Bethsaida. This man that Jesus meets was the last one he was going to heal in this time. The opportunity for others had passed by. Unless they wanted to follow him, he wasn't going to come back. This was their last opportunity to know a touch from the Savior. Now, I have to be careful when I say this tonight, because I'm not in the place of God. And only God knows when Jesus Christ is going to come back and take his people home with him. But you could maybe settle in your heart this evening that next week you're going to come back and have it all sorted out. And you could come back next Sunday night when they're not here. Is Jesus, in a spiritual sense, leaving behind the little village of Green, you see? Is this going to be the last opportunity for someone here to get right with the Lord? Now, I mentioned one of the saddest verses in John chapter 6. There's another one in Matthew, which speaks about Nazareth, his hometown, while Jesus was there. And it says that he didn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Think of how many lives could have been changed by the grace and the goodness of God, but it wasn't done because of unbelief. How sad would it be this evening if one was to lose that last opportunity because of unbelief? Is Jesus passing by this evening? And that's why the prophet in the Old Testament pleaded with the people. And that's why we plead in his words this evening. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And call ye upon him while he is near. Because he mightn't be near tomorrow. He mightn't be found later on. Won't you come to him this evening? Let Christ finish that work that he started even whenever you were younger. Know the full joy of sins forgiven. Know how he can work in your life. The way he's worked in mine. The way he's worked even in the person beside you. He's able to do it for you too. Let's just close our meeting in a word of prayer. Just before we come to prayer, well, God's people are praying. I just have an hour to go down the road. Another couple of minutes won't make any difference. If the Lord's been speaking to you this evening, don't be afraid to pull me aside if you're on your way out. Even if you know somebody here, don't be afraid to speak to them either. And just pray that God gives you that second touch and that full understanding of how he came to earth to die for you. Father, we give thanks for your help given this day and even this evening. And we pray once again you bless your word to each and every heart gathered here. Lord, for those of us who are saved, we're given a wonderful reminder of what you've done in our lives and how we can remember that condition we find ourselves in. That life of sin, that life, it was just all we had ever known until we met with thee. And you changed us in a miraculous and a powerful and yet a very personal way. And Lord, it's our deepest prayer this evening that what you've done for us, you will do for others as well. Whether they're here in the building, listening in even online at some later stage, Lord, we pray you'll speak to them once again. Give them that second touch, spiritually speaking. Remove any scales from their eyes. Lord, there's those who just see trees walking. Those who have a vague understanding. Those who are starting to see what he can do. Lord, we pray you'll finish that work. That you'll finish it tonight. And as we've already prayed this evening, we pray that there'll be joy among the heavenly host. And even for family and friends and loved ones here below. Over precious souls being swept into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we just pray you'll take us to our homes in safety and continue to be with us till he returns or calls us home. For we ask it in the Saviour's precious and holy name. Amen.